the Lord always does more than we would expect or perceive, and he's definitely doing his job tonight. How many felt the anointing with the music? Thank you. That was, I believe, Rick Pino? Yeah, thought so too. Anyway, may the Lord bless him, because he certainly blessed us. I searched out what God was pushing into my heart, and we're going to be going to 1 John. So take a ride to 1 John. Grab onto the train. We're going north. And I want you to realize that our God is a God that has already made us righteous in his sight. Just sometimes we don't feel righteous. Meaning right standing with him. Another piece to the puzzle is that the word righteousness means you have been restored with everything that Adam had through what Jesus did on that cross for you. So you've been restored to the Adamic perfection, if that makes sense, in Christ Jesus. And a lot of times we don't feel that. We go by the emotions or the feelings, if you wish. And I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to pound this truth into you so that you're not going to go walking around with your head kind of hanging and drooping, but to really lift up your head and know that you can approach the Father, because the sin issue has already been dealt with. And a lot of times that inferiority stuff is just old mindsets that are still sitting in you. And when I heard he wanted me to rehearse some of the scriptures on the blood, the first scripture that came in was 1 John. And chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." The Amplified goes a little deeper. Am I right? The Amplified says continually or continuously cleanses us from all sin. Right or wrong?
It says keeps us cleansed.
Keeps us cleansed. Mm-hmm. So why would the blood continuously cleanse us? Because we need it. In case you forgot, a lot of times, your old nature creeps up and takes over your brain, and you rehearse old patterns, you speak old patterns, and you actually curse your future. Kind of ugly, but I've even seen it in myself. I see it often, periodically, in different corners. And I cry out for the Lord. Please, Lord. I need your blood to cleanse me. Now, verse 8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Meaning, yes, there's still sin operating and trying to initiate our mouth back to old patterns. But verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now I'm going to bounce on you a little more because of some new scriptures that I want you to kind of jot down if you can, because these are very, very important. Because without the blood covenant, you're back in flesh. You're back in making sacrifices and fasting and making yourself holy and doing all kinds of penance and all that stuff. I've got news for you. Fasting is a gift. It doesn't always have to be food. It can be different things. Fasting the thoughts that you've got can be an awesome tool. So now I want you to go to Matthew 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, verse 28. This is our Savior speaking, and he's saying it very clear. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, with an S. What did he cover? Sins. You'll find it confirmed in John chapter 6, verse 56, John 19, verse 34. Now go to Acts 20, 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. That's a bishop. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So he bought the church with his own blood. Say, I was paid for by the blood. It's a reality. Romans 5:9, some of you know by heart. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? And it's confirmed in Colossians 1:20. So I've been justified by his blood in the courts of heaven and in the courts of earth. Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? This is an awesome one. Because you've got to remember, acts that lead to death are really things that you end up doing, sometimes without thinking, sometimes without perceiving. And I don't know about you, but my body's taken off sometimes in the wrong direction, my mouth going with it, and all of a sudden I'm in where? Spiritual bankruptcy. And I say, oh my God, how'd I get here? Very easy. Following the emotions. Following my feelings. Not a good idea, but I've done it. Not a good idea, and sometimes I still do it. Don't want to, but I've done it. So I quote, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, not a part-time Holy Ghost, eternal Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience. Cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. 1 Peter 1:18. First Peter 1:18. Again, another level. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So I'm redeemed by the blood. So you see, sometimes, no matter how many times you've learned this or heard it, a refresher course is needed to get you back on track, because sometimes we think we're doing it by effort or scrubbing ourselves clean. Can anybody relate? Don't want to go there anymore. Revelations chapter 1, verse 5. Revelations 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Say, I've been freed from my sin by his blood. Not by my actions, not by my repentance. Not by my laying down on the ground for 3 days. Not going without food ain't going to stop it. Unless you recognize that covenant of his blood, you are into your own head. And I've got news for you. When you meet him face to face, he's going to say, and how and who are you? And when you declare that you've been washed in his blood, the words of your testimony will give you freedom. Look at your neighbor. Say, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm getting freer every day. Hallelujah. God's not done with me yet. Hallelujah. But his blood cleanses me. Continuously. Hallelujah. See, if you keep that in mind, you've got a future. Okay. Revelation 7:14. Revelation 7:14, I answered, Sir, you know, and he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hoo-hoo! Made your robes white in the... Now, how many of you have ever had a little bit of a blood stain on a white item? You would not think that you could get a robe clean in blood. But these are spiritual robes. Blood is the power and the source of power inside of me and you. And I can remember when my wife was battling cancer, and Dr. Trump and another doctor were communicating with me and her about considering chemotherapy. And boy, I didn't like the idea. I said, oh Lord, this is so hard to digest, difficult, blah, blah, blah. And one of the explanations that was given to us was that the chemotherapy that they were going to give her was like liquid light. Like the white corpuscles of your blood. And when I heard that, I said, yes. And they had told her that it was an insurance policy. She was going to have to take this for 6 months. We had many miracles in those 6 months. We also had many challenges. But one of the greatest ones was in December. She had already had 5 of the shots. They were shots that they gave. And there was no way, because right after Thanksgiving, she was wiped. She literally had no energy left at all. And so on a Monday night, or Sunday night, I said to her, she had already had the blood work, because they would give the blood work on like Thursday or Friday. They would call Friday or Saturday and say, you're okay, you can come for your next shot. And her blood was so low, they said, there's no way, we're going to have to wait another month, because it needed to come up. But you need to come back next week to see if the blood has come up. So they made her an appointment for Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it was. And Sunday night, I said to Irene, I said, well, let's go to the prayer service. Roby was leading Bible study. And so we went to the Bible study at the chapel. And it was kind of funny because we came in a little bit late. And they were already discussing things about the Word of God, etc., etc. And it was a fun night. And Roby looks at me, of course, he didn't have any real knowledge, and I had not communicated. And he says, you two come up here and sit on the piano bench. So, good thing, because I think Irene would have probably been unable to stand. And so, she sat with me on the piano bench, and a bunch of people came, and they prayed over us, and Roby had a word of knowledge. And he says, I declare to you that the blood is coming up now, in Jesus' name. It's coming up now! And he repeated it 2 or 3 times. And my wife looked at him, and we looked at each other, and we were blessed. She went for her blood work the following day or the day after, I don't remember which. And they were shocked. Her blood had never been that high in the 5 months that she had been tested. They said, well, you can come in on Thursday and get your final shot. Liquid light. Close your eyes. If chemotherapy can kill garbage like cancer, how about the blood of the Lamb that washed away all the sins of all of man in one incredible sacrifice on that cross? He let his blood shed over the earth. He let it spill out to recreate and challenge all of the forces of darkness, and made a public spectacle. Say, Lord Jesus, I have a tool, Lord Jesus, I have a tool, to counteract the sin nature that tries to push my buttons, and even sickness and disease, even discomfort and despair, have to bow their knee to the blood of Jesus in me. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ is flowing through my veins. It is stronger than the liquid light of chemotherapy. It is greater than any other product in the earth. Because it purchased me from a place of death to resurrection life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. We trust you, Lord. And we trust the blood. Amen. Any additions? Yes, dear.
It's not an addition, it's a question.
It's a question. Cool. Go for it.
Now, in relation to sin.
Yes.
You know, we all have sinned and fallen short, so on and so forth, you know, and what we do with the sin, you know, temptation, whatever. Most of the time we just do it unawares.
Yeah.
But is there a difference between if you knew the Lord, you had an intimate relationship with Him, and chose purposely, knowing full well what you were going to do,
yep,
to sin against Him, and go forward in that capacity, where does that lie?
Are you in that right mind at that time, or are you under the anointing of Romans 7? Romans 7 is written by St. Paul, who's now a bishop over the church. And he's writing about something that takes over, takes him for a ride, and yet in Romans 8:1 he says there's no condemnation because I belong to Christ. There are, I believe, seasons of people's lives that can actually corner the edge of insanity. And people do lose their equilibrium. So what you pray for is that they will have a restoration and an enlightenment at some point. Because it may be that they got stubborn, because they got offended, they got maybe angry with God. But the blood is still available to them. So there is that place of repentance, changing their minds, that is available. And if that person is in their right mind, they've made a decision. If they've made a decision such as Judas did, God will respect their decision. Absolutely. He is faithful. 1 John 1:9. So if you take the two verses, verse 7 and 9, coordinate them together, 7, 8, and 9 if you wish, you've got a clear pattern because again, see, St. John is writing to the church. And church people do fail. And they do fall. Okay? And it's not designed for the neighborhood. It's designed for the believers in the church. Okay. Does that help?
It does, thank you.
Anyone else? Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, in the days ahead, remind me of this blood covenant. And let me declare the word of God over myself. And the precious blood to keep washing me and to keep cleansing me, especially my mind and my emotions and my conscience, Lord, because the blood can do all those things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice in the blood because there's power in the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ah, shit.